Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go. Wow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Good evening, community of faith.
Hello, hello, community of faith.
Hello, hello, hello.
Guess what? It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Night.
It's Friday night.
Again, so quickly.
I've been at this too long, okay? I got to tell you what I just tried to do right now. I was picking up my list of names we're praying for,
uh-huh.
And I picked this up to go and slide it over onto my computer.
That's funny.
Woo!
There was a meme on Facebook of a little kid sitting
at a table, and his mom said, "You don't need a password. Just open the book." It's so true. Too funny. Okay. If I tap it twice with two fingers, will it give me copy? No, I got a little bit of ink on my fingers, though. And...
Why are you not showing up for me?
I don't know. I got a notification really early.
Why are you not showing up for me?
I don't know, but just go easy on that, all right? Everything's all right.
Well, I need to get my stuff done, and I can't seem to get here.
Wow.
Refresh everything and see what happens.
All right.
Well, I hope everyone else is having better luck getting here tonight than we seem to be. Oh, there you are.
All right. Now, I think that we need to add a screen to our program that declares... If you haven't turned your phone off lately, you might as well get it done now so that your phone and everything will work properly.
Amen.
That's there. That's over there. That's over there. That's right there. That's right. And that's right there. And are you guys right? There we go. Welcome, everybody. Not sure what that was about. Whew. So, here we go. Every time we do this, somebody drops off the bottom of the list. And everybody is important to be on the list.
Amen.
Julie, Sally, Christopher, Alan, Rebecca, Audrey.
Audrey's here?
No.
Oh.
I was seeing who needed to be on the list.
Oh.
Throw your heart wide open and give it away. If you want more happy than your heart can hold, deep satisfaction. Throw your heart wide open and give it away. There we go. So, welcome, everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so happy to have you with us.
This is going to be a good night because we've been preaching the principles of faith. And we've been using the Christmas story to tell it. And so tonight we're going to preach another principle of faith. We use Mary, we're going to use Elizabeth, Joseph, the whole Christmas story. And it's going to teach our principle. How to add you got to mix faith with the word. All right. Amen. Three more to go.
There we are.
You have finished?
I have finished. I have finished. So hope everybody had a great day today. We had a great day today. It was cool here, but it was sunshiny and pretty.
It was sunshiny and pretty.
Did not work today, so we got some things done around here, and that was awesome. Had a really, really good prayer program this morning.
Just so everybody knows, we did work today.
Yeah, we just worked here today.
We did. We worked today.
We never really have non-working moments, actually, but...
Yeah. I got a few more to share to tonight, evidently, than what you do. But that's okay.
Share them for you if you'd like. So what are we studying tonight, did you say?
Mix it with faith.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It seems that lately our subjects, about 5 minutes after we start the program, they take a severe turn into a different direction, which is good, though, because, you know, people are getting questions answered and receiving revelation. Hi, Roger. Howdy, howdy to you, Brother Sam.
Phyllis K. Raymond. My mom's here. Roger Oxy's here. Leanne Cottle's here.
Oh, I see Phyllis. No.
Everybody's here. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
We weren't ignoring you at all. We were just busy sharing the joy.
So good to see you guys walk in the door. We love it.
25 on my side, though. How's that? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
There we go. So, how's your Merry Christmases going? You're welcome, Phyllis. We love you. We always want you with us.
We do.
We always want you with us. You're a very valuable member.
This
now, I just want to let you know, I was saying it earlier, but I didn't think anybody was there. Tonight, I proved that I have finally stepped into technology to the greatest degree. Because I have a list right here of everybody we've been praying for. All right? And I wanted that list over here in my notes. So I just picked my pad up, circled it with my finger, double tap, and it didn't move. It just stayed on the book.
So his technology is not functioning at all the way he intended it to.
Oh, glory be to God. Evening, Mom. How are you doing tonight?
I don't see your mom, but hello, hello. Glad you're
How's
here.
Things in Tennessee? Now, you got all them houses around you. Do you have like a light parade on your street?
I was going to look and see what ours was. When I went to the post office today, they had the streets downtown blocked off, and I was going to look and see if it was our parade.
Wow.
I hope we're not missing it.
Today has been a great day for you.
God is so good.
God is so good.
Love it.
You know, the first song or second song that was on our worship for today, Phyllis, was about just for you, walking in a winter wonderland. Well, you and Felicia and Becca and Kathy Angaroni, all of you that live south of the Mason-Dixon line, Angel Collier, and you never get to enjoy the beauty of Christmas of cold temperatures and snow, walking in a winter wonderland. Now, regardless of what the Floridians think, a winter wonderland is not lights on a palm tree.
It could be.
But that's just how I see Christmas, and it might not be how everybody else sees Christmas. Still waiting on Pony Express for the Christmas cards or the ground. The Tortoise Express, either way, mail is slow. Well,
especially this time of year.
Especially when they make problems on purpose just so they can say, oops, we had a slowdown. We can't get your stuff to you. We had a big computer crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's messed up. Where are the days of we're going to make it happen no matter what? Where are the days that UPS and the United States Postal Service both made sure that they had so many drivers on they could deliver till 8 o'clock at night? Doing good. I'm feeling good. The weather's nasty, drippy, foggy, but staying in, enjoying scripture, goods, and the good YouTube stories. I'll tell you what, Mom. We watched that program you said the other night. What was it? God of Wonders.
God of Wonders.
Was that ever a program?
Wow.
And I don't know about your YouTube, but my YouTube, immediately, the next video was some about 40 days, and that was about Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. Now, in snow once every 5 years is satisfactory. That's pretty cool, Phyllis. But it was interesting that as they showed the wilderness, it looked like North Dakota in the Badlands.
Yeah.
Rocky, thorny. And you got Jesus out there walking around in his flip-flops. Now, I'm sure that they had more than just flip-flops. I'm sure by the time they got to Jesus' day, they had perfected sandals pretty good, 5,000 years of people wearing shoes.
Yeah. We're still sandals. I mean, John the Baptist said he wasn't even worthy to unloose his sandals, so he did wear sandals.
The latches on his sandals.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was very interesting because it showed him out there in the wilderness. And you could tell he was thirsty. He found a little pool, but then there wasn't another. And he didn't eat for 40 days in the wilderness. The wind blows in the wilderness. It's cold that night in the wilderness. And especially where he's at over there. It was a very good depiction. It would be a really good movie if it lasted for 40 days.
Wow.
Nothing else on the screen except, yep, he's still out there. 5 hours later, yep, he's still out there. 5 hours later, yes, Jesus is still alone in the wilderness, fasting and praying for the anointing to come on him to do his ministry.
Wow.
How many times do we have God call us in the ministry, but we don't do any of that fasting and praying and getting alone with God? Mm-hmm. Phyllis K. Raymond, it gets cold enough for me, and snow once every 5 years is satisfactory. My, my, my. Brother Roger said, I'm still thinking about Christmas cards. This year for next year.
Yeah.
And send them out before Thanksgiving. So I'm sure that people will receive the cards well before Christmas.
Yeah.
Did we get a card from him?
Roger? Yeah, he gave it to us when we were in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Roger, we got your card. I thought we got a card from you.
Yeah.
It wasn't slow at all.
It wasn't. Hand delivered. It's awesome. And now it's hanging on our wall.
It's hanging on the wall.
Yeah, Rod.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell Roger, after when they have the after Christmas sales, that's when you want to buy your cards for next year because they're like 75% off.
Well, and the way the postal service is, that's probably when you want to send them too.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could have seen it. He endured and didn't give in to the flesh. Yeah.
It's very powerful. Very powerful. What a thought. 40 days.
Is that what it was called? Maybe you could look it up.
40 days. I actually found it and saved it so I can find it.
Oh. Well, again. Send a link to your mom.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go.
So I had really good intentions of the Christmas card thing today, too. I didn't get it done.
You didn't?
I didn't either.
But to tell you the truth, I didn't have good intentions for it either.
You didn't?
No. Oh, it's called 40 Nights. Give me just a second. I'll grab it. There we go. It's amazing what you get to do just sitting here talking to everybody, streaming all the way around the world on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio and talking to your mom and all your brothers and sisters in the Lord and just doing the work that God gives you to do. There, I sent it to your mom in your text. Roger said he's making a funny. You know, Roger, at least you tell us when you're making a funny, and we know. I like that. And it helps us laugh better.
That's, yeah, you know it's okay to laugh.
That's why you received the card early. Yeah, well, it didn't cost too much, just 4,000-mile trip we had to drive for one Christmas card, but it was worth it.
It was. It meant a lot to us, Roger. Thank you. It's a beautiful card.
If you're live with us on Facebook or YouTube, and you would like, YouTube's not up yet, but, and you would like to listen to just the audio, you can dial 563-999-3487 and be connected on YouTube, and you'll be able to hear the audio. Many times, if you're going to be driving somewhere when the program is on, but you still want to hear what's happening, just dial in 563-999-3487, and it gives you the ability to be connected and have that number. Now, I suppose I can get the screens up like I'm supposed to have. And this is our beginning screen. There's the number. Take a screenshot of this screen, and you'll be able to have that phone right in your, that number right in your phone. You won't be able to touch it and make it go live, but still gives you the phone number so you can call and talk to them. Now, you know, Blog Talk Radio is quite the opportunity for us because it gives us the ability to have audio and an audio recording in every one of our sessions. And thank God we have that ability to just function. Thank God for a good computer that will let us make all this stuff come together at the same time. And thank God for good equipment, and thank God for good people to be here and be a part of it. Amen. It's always a good thing to have you guys with us. Now, you know, as we're entering into the Christmas season and we get more and more things happening in people's lives, remember to continually be in prayer for the community of faith family. We know that you have things happening with your family, maybe your local church if you have one. And that's wonderful. Keep us in prayer. And we'll all come out the other end of Christmas saying, hallelujah, Jesus is born. Amen. And he lives inside of me. Amen. And he lives inside of me. Thank God for it. And aren't you glad that God has given us the liberty and the freedom that he's given to us?
Yeah.
Wow, look at that time just fly.
I know.
It's already time to start.
And it's already Friday again.
Wow. Well, we might as well just get started. So we have plenty of time to preach the word. Because the word is what's important. So, there we go. Let me get my screen up where we got to get it. There we go. Rise together with me. Render your honor, and let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who are still serving today, those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor and of every one of the families of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys that are fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, let's say the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now, we'll pray our opening prayer that we pray every time we come together. I like this prayer because it gives us the ability for all of us to say the same prayer. And where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he is there mighty in our midst. So here we go. Father, we pray this prayer today as children of Almighty God, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God and Father of every brave warrior down through American history, on this day and on every day, we stand in the gap, we make up the hedge, and we make a difference in the lives of people every day. Many, many months ago, you gave us the assignment to pray every time we come together for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, thank you that the Apostle Paul laid it out so very simply for us in one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament. One Lord, one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in each one of us tonight. Help us that we function tonight according to the grace gift of God that you have placed on the inside of us, and we function in it with boldness and compassion.
Amen.
We function it with simplicity, with your yoke that's easy and your burden that's light. We function in it with the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us right here, right now, today.
Amen.
The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living on the inside of us. And right now, isn't that something? I'm going to have to look at Sister Leanne and say, you keep praying. I got to write a note. No. We speak life and life more abundantly to America.
Amen.
How long has it been since we said that? I don't know either, but I was expecting you to keep track back there somewhere. We speak life and life more abundantly to the United States of America.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
We speak life to our churches. We speak life to the parachurch organizations as they're known. We speak life into the body of Christ all across this great nation, who tonight is doing something powerful, strong, holy, anointed, blessed, Christmas party, Christmas program, talk about Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. That all across America tonight, every church is safe.
Amen.
Every wicked plan of our enemy against a church building somewhere, we rout your plan tonight, and we say no weapon formed against the church of the living God shall prosper.
Amen.
And we condemn it, and we say anybody with that plan, it comes back on you now, and you experience the destruction that you had planned. Thank you, Father. You're a God of love, but you're also a God of protection of your children.
Yes.
And all through the ages, you have very, very wondrously protected your church.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we say right now, forgive us of our sin and heal our land.
Amen.
Forgive us, Lord, that we allowed Santa Claus to get in the church. May we just make it about you, Jesus.
Amen.
May we make every single day of this month about Jesus coming to this earth. And the glory of it, and the wonder of it, and the praise of it, and the honor of it. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to enjoy this season and enjoy the wonder and the might and the glory, but in no way whatsoever submit to this world and its ways, submit to the globalist idea of who God is. No God. No, God came and lived among us. Noel, Jesus is born. Emmanuel, Christ is with us. We give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Jesus, for those wonderful words. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, that even though it's not 2,000 years ago today, we remember Mary riding on that donkey, riding in a cart, walking. We can only imagine jostling down the road, pregnant with Jesus the Christ, with the awe and wonder that was going on the inside of her, because she was about to give birth to the Christ child. My, 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 my. Thank you, Father, that just like your word says, when the seed of your word is planted in our heart, we don't know how it grows. It's growing, and it's growing bones, and it's growing legs and toes. It's producing an amazing force on the inside of us.
Amen.
And we receive the harvest that you have for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, all across this nation, may every pastor, every apostle, every evangelist, every teacher, every Sunday school leader, every worship leader, every deacon, every elder, every minister of the church, every person who attends, who brings an offering to Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, may they honor and glorify your holy name, and may it be praised right here on this earth in Jesus' name. Father, you said through the Holy Spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he came at this time. We bind violence in America right now, this month. May the news media have to announce, may they have nothing else to say except violence is down, and the enemies of this nation have no idea why they backed off, but the church is praying, and we're proclaiming peace on earth, goodwill toward man.
Amen.
We give you glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless our men and women serving, wherever they may be. Bless those who are around the world somewhere. They won't be home with their families for the holiday season. In the name of Jesus, may they have great courage and great strength. May their marriages and families be strong and not weak. May they be the most patriotic Americans we've ever known.
Amen.
May we be known as the greatest generation right here, right now, today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like we do every time we come together, we pray this patriot prayer of dedication. We speak it, Lord, not only here, but we speak it all over the world, all over the earth. We speak it for our brothers and sisters in Australia who seem to be caught in some severe bondage. And their lives are in great danger. May they rise up as patriots in Australia and see what God will do for them right here, right now, today. We don't agree with the statements, whether they're religious people or whether they're political people, that it's all over. We declare it's not all over. We declare the blessing of the Lord is theirs today. Pray this prayer with me today. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. Highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. I was trying to turn the page, and I was just reading. Ready? Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Interesting. Interesting. Somebody say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For a good time of prayer together.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to need to get those verses in there that we speak life and life more abundantly to the United States of America.
Amen.
Bottom line, if we speak life to all of you, why would we not speak life into this great nation that is so determined to be righteous and to lead this world in righteousness? It's a severe assignment, and there's not many nations left in the world that are on our side for righteousness. But it doesn't matter. God has always had a people, and it looks like you and I are those people that God has always had, who would never turn their back on him. They're called remnant. They have always been there, always walking with God, always faithful to the very end. And thank God for the remnant that is alive and well today in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, last night was a pretty interesting message. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about forgiving and forgetting. And I would recommend, if you didn't hear last night's message, to go hear it. Because we got into a very, very, very great place led by the Holy Spirit when dealing with offense. Because the bottom line is there's three things with every offense you got to deal with. Number one is forgiveness. We have to forgive. Nobody can make you forgive. But Jesus said, you show me how much, you show the Father how much you want him to forgive you by how much you forgive your brother. Very interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Very, very, very interesting. So, that was the first part. The second part is forgetting. Because everybody says, well, you got to just forgive and forget. Well, offense that is deep, that's hard to forget in your flesh. But it's not hard to do in the realm of the Spirit. I so love how the Holy Spirit sewed last night together into that beautiful tapestry that brought all of the teaching of the last 2 months together in that message and just says, you are the spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You, the spirit, using your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, tell your body, shut up. Tell your brain, stop remembering that stuff. And I choose not to remember that against them another day. Now listen, some people are like, Pastor, you make it sound real easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. However, it is a task that you must get accomplished. It doesn't happen all by itself automatically.
Right.
And you have to choose to forget. Every time the enemy shows up, you say, nope, that's behind me and I'm not bringing it in the front. Can't go anywhere driving. You can't drive anywhere looking out the rearview mirror. You will come to an abrupt stop against something because you'll miss what's in front of you. So anyways, then the third part was, how much access does that person have to your life? The greater the offense, the less the access. That's just how it is. If somebody truly proves that they have repented of their sins and changed their ways, well, you can have them close as the relationship will be. Yeah, not yet. I thought it was just powerful how the Holy Spirit led us in that. And, we started with the story of glad tidings of great joy. Well, what is the greatest glad tidings anybody can receive? And that is that you can be free from offense. You can be free from trauma. You can be free from anything that has ever happened to you in your life. You can be free from it. And all you got to do is walk in faith with our Father every day, and he will continually help you be free.
Amen.
Now, it's faith. It's not automatic. It takes faith. But the whole Christian life takes faith. You don't just get to wake up in the morning and say, "Whee, I'm a Christian," and there, that's all there is to it. You might be able to do that if you're never going to get anything accomplished. But as soon as you decide to get something accomplished in God, now you got an enemy. And that enemy doesn't want you to get anything accomplished in God. So I'm not prophesying it's going to oppose you, but it is going to oppose you. You can only remember the hurt as forgiven by you and God. Only way I can get the victory is covered by the blood of Jesus. Well, and you know, the story I like to tell on this, because I could tell my own or I could tell one of yours. Dr. Barclay's got one of the best stories in the world on this. He was recon marine in Vietnam, 2 combat tours, 22 months in the jungle. All right. Now, recon marine then was working with the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, the Green Berets. Those guys were all special forces people. And so just by nature of that job title, you're going to be a part of many traumatic situations. And many people come back and that trauma has gripped their soul and they can't get rid of it. But his pastor, what's his name? Billy. Pastor Billy, he's a cool man, Cherokee man. He was his pastor in 71 or whenever it was he was there. And the man's still alive today. Yeah. And streams every service with Dr. Barclay and gets on and calls him pastor. It's a beautiful thing to see. Pastor taught him that you take the blood of Jesus and you purge your conscience. You do it as an act. You make the statement. Of course, God does it when he wipes away all of the sin of your life. So sin will be gone. And you now have his righteousness. So you have the ability to function in a place and in a way you've never known about before, because you have the ability to function from righteousness, not sin and wickedness. But then he said, just make sure every day you are very specifically making the declaration, I take the blood of Jesus and purge all this from my consciousness. And Pastor said he never once woke up with a horrendous dream from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Wait, but he was taught a very specific process of how to do that. And this is going to flow right into what we're going to say for tonight, for tonight's teaching. And so welcome, 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 everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. YouTube is now live. So here we go. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. Seems to be our launching pad this year at Christmas. I love how God does something different every Christmas season. Don't you love it? I'm not convinced that next year in September, we're not going to talk about the actuality of Christmas. Christ being born. People talk about Christmas in July. Anyways, it's Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read the story of the angels again meeting with the shepherds, verses 1 through 20. And then I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to read chapter 3, verse 7 through verse 19. Everybody just follow along. Hebrews 3, 7 through 19. Sally Pounty, welcome. And then also chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It'll be a good study tonight. Straight from the Word of God. One of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn in all of your Christian life is let the Word of God do the talking. Let the Word of God do the talking. And when you open this book and actually receive what it says, all of a sudden, it makes a really, really, really big difference in your life. And then you begin to see the Word of God actually get in and change. Oh, Phyllis made a statement. Forgiveness. If you want God to forgive you, forget and find freedom from the pain. Find favor with our Heavenly Father so as to avoid continued misery and hurt from abusive people. The worst thing anybody can do is to allow a horrible situation of your past to affect a beautiful situation of the present. There's some things, guys, we'll never get an answer for on this side of heaven. There's some things we'll never get an answer for. And many of them, you commit it to God and just say, when you decide to show me something on that, I will learn. But I'm going to quit plucking that same piece. I got to let it heal, and I got to let my life keep moving in God, in Jesus' name. Just remember this one statement that we always make. You can't change what happened yesterday. So you might as well quit worrying about it. And you better start speaking faith over every bit of it so that what has happened in your past will not stop your future.
Amen.
What are you going to do? If bad happened, bad happened. I'll take it further. If you were the bad one that made something happen, well, don't do it again. I don't know whether that made sense necessarily how I said it, but if you are the one that made the bad happen, then don't be making the bad happen anymore in anybody's life. Praise God for his wonderful love and mercy and grace in our life. Julian Mbamana, welcome. Felicia Eicher, welcome. Glad to have you guys with us too. Always glad to have you guys be a part of what we're doing. Here we go. Hold your Bibles up. We'll make our confession tonight. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It really is. It even has my name in it. I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I really do. Do you?
I do.
I thought so. That's why you're making the statement, right? Mm-hmm. I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Is making this Word come alive.
This Word come alive.
In my life
in my
tonight. I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, my soul, and my body.
In my spirit, my soul, and my body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Title of our session tonight is a really good one. Mix the word with faith. The wise men did for 4 years. They mixed the word with faith for 2 years to get there and then 2 years to get home. It's going to be a good study tonight. You're going to want to be here. Everybody pause for a second. I just remembered I was so, you want to read? You can read if you want to. But I was just asked by someone to share the YouTube stream with them. So I'm going to do that. That's a good thing for me to do, isn't it?
Are we starting Luke 5?
Luke chapter 2, verse 1.
And it came... And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth. Into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I wonder if they ever thought, why us? Why did they tell us?
I'm sure they thought, why us? I mean, think about it. The shepherds were looked down upon in that day as the lowliest of people, because they were like nomadic people.
Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the
manger. Have you ever figured out who haste was? Is that one of the shepherds?
Might have been the taxi driver. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Boy, I bet she was pondering some things. Wow. 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to think about it. The word that we're going to speak tonight, let's go now to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and actually 1 through 3. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. The word of tonight is mix the word with faith. The wise men did for 2 years, all right? The shepherds mixed the word immediately. The angels showed up. That would be sort of a convincing process if the heavenly host of angels filled the whole sky where you were laying on the side of a hill with all your sheep around you. That would wake you up. And That scripture says that the shepherds were dwelling on the hillside. So that leads you to believe they were outside of a fold. In those days, they would build a sheepfold, which would be a four-walled building with 2 doors. But it wouldn't have a roof over it necessarily. But it was a place where all the shepherds could bring the sheep inside that building and keep them safe from wolves. So it could be a rather large area and a wall. Remember how Jesus said, anybody who climbs up over the wall to get in and be the shepherd is a thief and a robber? Well, it's also this picture that Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of another they will not follow. So in the morning, as the sun rose, the shepherd would step outside of the building and make his sounds, but only his sheep followed him. None of the other sheep would follow him. Why? Because my sheep know my voice and follow me. That verse right there would help our sister who is struggling with what to do about Christmas. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Listen, the stranger's voice will sound weird, and it'll trouble you. The voice of the shepherd's never going to trouble you, even if it rebukes you. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? So this leads us to believe they're laying on the side of the hill, and they got their keeping watch over their flocks by night. All right? So somebody had to, you know, there were shepherds that were already asleep probably. And then there was shepherds that was awake watching the sheep, because somebody had to be awake with them all night long, keep them, you know, together. But how many of you think that all the shepherds woke up? Can you imagine the guy that was left behind that night when the rest of them went to town? You know, he's looking at the sky saying, do it again. I would. Do it again. Hey, God, I want to see all those angels again. Do it again. I mean, these shepherds were used to a starry night,
yeah.
You know. They were used to a rainy night, more than likely. They spent many nights in the rain because rain's going to happen and you're out there in the wilderness. You don't have any way to get out of it unless there's a sheepfold close by. And then some of them didn't have roofs. So the bottom line is they're not afraid of rain. But what do you do when the whole sky is filled with angels? The same thing that people are going to do at the end when the angels begin preaching from heaven and saying, do not take the mark. Do not take the mark. Do not take mark. Do not take the mark. Do not take the mark. That's going to be going on after you and I leave here. I had one person say, yeah, but what if I want to be here to see how things go? You ain't going to want to be here. You're not going to want to be here. If you're the worst sinner you ever met, and you're listening to me tonight, I encourage you, do not be here when Jesus comes back. Wait, you want to go when Jesus comes back. Amen? Anyways, let's look at this. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. That would have been cool if the angels would have just come right down to earth and stood in front of them and then walked down the road. The shepherds said to one another, well, let us go to Bethlehem. And this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I want you to, if you're the kind that do it, you can write right in your Bible. They mixed the word with faith. They mixed the word with faith. Because they immediately got up. Excuse me. I lost my comments. Where'd you guys go? They immediately got up and went to the city. I love the word too, Roger. Amen. Now, somebody that's there with us tonight, is there something major happening in the United States of America tonight that we don't know about? The sun we've only got at this point in the night. And there's five? All right. Oh, my goodness. Come on, technology. Just work.
Well, it was super long time.
All right. Well, I just said that because if something major is happening, then we want to be praying for it. All right. We don't want to be missing out. Brother, Sister Sally Pounty, Dan Cottle, Mary Pastorick, welcome, 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 welcome. We are now in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, mixing the word with faith. Ready? Mark, get set. I'm reading. Therefore, what do you do when you find a therefore? Find out what it's there for. I love the book of Hebrews because it doesn't matter what chapter you start with. It's going to start with a therefore. And so the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this, designed this book to be read in one sitting.
There's cliffhangers everywhere.
Because every chapter begins with therefore. And, you know, it's not like it's that long. It's only 55 to 70, so that's only 15 pages of the Bible. Not like that's a lot of pages. Amen, Roger. I don't look at the news either, brother. But some of you do, and we appreciate that. And then you let us know when things are going on. Amen. And I don't judge somebody who looks at the news. I'm just not doing it at this point. I get all my news from Brother Copeland and The Blaze and men and women of God who are paying attention to what's going on because the rest of that stuff, you can't even tell if it's real anymore.
Yeah,
you can't even tell if the people sitting there and the thing is real. You just don't know. You just don't know. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. That's interesting, isn't it? Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to them, to us, as well as to them. Does anybody remember the definition of the word gospel? Good news. The definition of the word gospel is the good news. And what is the good news? Jesus is born, and he came to set the captive free in any form of captivity that he has been in. They heard did not profit them. How about you? I don't want the word that I hear preached to me to not profit me. I don't. I want to hear the word. I want to grab the word. And I want to begin to put that word immediately into work in my life. That's why what the Holy Spirit has done here since March 21st of last year is build continually on what he's already shown us, so that every day is adding another layer, another line upon a line, so that since that beginning till now, if you've been with us that whole time, you have grown and developed in God in a major way. Not because of me. I didn't have an agenda. The Holy Spirit has led us every time we sit down, which I think is one of the coolest parts of this. He just keeps leading. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Interesting set of verses, isn't it? What is the Holy Spirit saying through the Apostle Paul? Our works that you and I are supposed to be walking in every single day have been established for the foundations of the world, that we should walk in them. And our answer to being able to walk in the Word of God is that we continually mix the Word with faith. What does that mean, Pastor? That means when you hear this Word, you make a statement, something to the effect of, I receive that Word in my life right now today, and I put it into work. Now, let's say that's the Word about speaking to the mountain. What do? You start speaking to the mountain right away. You tell every mountain that gets in your way, move, mountain. Why? You're mixing the word with faith. And what is faith? Faith is action. Faith is, I believe God exists, and I know he rewards me when I diligently seek him or move in the direction he's telling me to move. Say this with me. He is rewarding. Right here, right now, tonight, in every area of my life. He is rewarding you. Why? Because you're moving in faith. You come back to the next session. You come back. You're here every night of the week. You're here diligently seeking after the ways of God. Well, that's adding faith. That's mixing faith into the word that's been preached in your life. Now, some people think that what we're doing is just a cute churchy thing that we do on Sundays, and we all get together and go to cute little churchy. But I'm going to tell you, cute little churchy isn't going to have nothing for you in the end times, guys. You're going to need a whole lot more than cute little churchy on Sunday. Even if you have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, you better be functioning in faith every single day. because this thing is getting very serious. Very, 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 very serious. And I keep hearing the prophets, the prophets of our day, saying it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse. And I don't want to agree with that. However, when you read the verse that says, as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. What was Noah's days like? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, Pastor. You're right. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, out of all the people on the earth, 8 people went to heaven.
Wow.
Well, out of all the people on the earth, 8 people escaped the wrath of God. Pastor, do you have a doctrine of 8?
No.
No. But we have Jesus saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said, 2 will be grinding in the mill. 1 will be taken, another will be left. We don't have mills today, but 2 will be standing in the factory. 1 will be taken, the other left. Nobody's cursed. If there's 2 of you standing, 1's got to go to hell. That's not what it means. But it means you and I got to be ready. And in the end times, it's going to take much more diligence to walk with God than it has in other points of our life where everybody in America was living in righteousness.
And you know, that's something important too for people to realize, that everybody will be going about their business and people will just start disappearing. So many think that they can wait until the 11th hour because, you know, they think that a stillness is going to happen or everything's going to come to a halt, and then they'll, you know, change their ways and receive Jesus. But they don't realize, no, it's going to happen right in the midst of whatever you're doing. No one will know until it happens.
No man knows the day or the hour. This is what we do know. Somewhere on the earth, it'll be busy noon.
Yeah.
Somewhere it'll be morning sunrise. Somewhere on the earth, it'll be midnight. And somebody will be sound asleep. Somewhere on the earth, there'll be people just going to bed. Around this earth is 24 hours of a clock. So somewhere around the earth, all of a normal day will be happening when Jesus returns. And you and I have got to still be functioning in faith. As American Christians, we saw today the absolute importance that, number one, we don't give up our weapons of protection. And you better get good at it, and you better have all you can get. You better find all the old guys that's passing away and get their collection and all their ammunition. Because they got to know we have them, because it is our one natural force that keeps that enemy from coming in here and attacking us right now.
Yeah.
Now, but you can't give up your spiritual force. And I'm not here tonight to talk about M16s, AK-47s, you know, 45 pistols. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here tonight to talk about this weapon and this weapon that we're using right here says that you and I are to mix the word with faith. There's all kinds of religious doctrines taught every day around the world that have no value to making you a strong believer. People that preach what day or day you shouldn't, that's just not God. Paul said, don't let anybody judge you on a day. Can't go there. What are we doing? Then we start arguing about things that are useless, and they cause destruction of the faith to the people that are hearing. when our conversation is supposed to build faith inside of you and hope and trust in God and the knowledge that he will change your life where you live right now and impact you in a very understandable way right here, right now, today, in Jesus' name, today. Just like the shepherds. All my brothers in the truck driving world, you guys are like the shepherds. Because on any given night, you're laying out on the side of the hill somewhere. Sure, Brother Dan is in his sleeper tonight, not laying on the side of a hill somewhere. But so Dan sends us a picture. He's got his lawn chair out. He's sitting on the side of the sun's in his face. Love you, Dan. But tonight we got Brother Leo, our brother we know here, works in the oil field. He's out here somewhere tonight on the side of a hill. He's hauling water. We used to say, kicking gravel, making dust, hauling water, but there ain't no gravel kicking no more. It's covered in snow and it's starting to freeze. But this could be the night when he comes right now tonight. Are you ready? This is the message. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. Mary just said, I need my land to sell. All right? Mary, she made the statement publicly, so I'll use it. She's got to mix her faith with this word that's being taught and then produce that land sale so that it not only blesses her life, but abundantly blesses her life and lives for the rest of her life in the blessing of God, because God's blessing was upon her for being a mighty woman of God. It's the Bible. Mix the word with faith. Now watch. Were they all content with the physically earthly things and paying no mind to Jesus? In good times, they forget. In bad times, they cry out. Well, that's true. But God doesn't say, so then seek me for bad times. God says, I want to bless you with good times and teach you not to forget. We have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. Does the Holy Spirit of God ever forget? No. He's the one that brings all things to your remembrance of what Jesus taught us. And he's the one that's empowering you to speak your faith. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 2 again. Look at these guys. Verse 15. So it was, Luke 2, 15. Slow down, preacher. Luke 2, 15. Let's watch the disciples. Not the disciples. Let's watch the shepherds mix the word with faith. Verse 15. When the angels had gone away, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. And they came with haste. Too often in our Christian life, we don't move in haste. We go slowly. It takes God months, sometimes even years, to convince us to move. And that is not what God wants for any of us at all. He wants us to learn to move with him. Now, let me find a verse here. Everybody just pause while I'm finding the verse. And if Sister Leanne has something she want to add at this point, she's very welcome to, because they got to find this verse.
And that is true about the immediately thing. So many times you hear of these amazing miracles that God causes when we surrender to him. Allow him to move in our life.
Right.
When we are are hearing his voice and move and just trust in him, he pulls off the most amazing things that just cause everybody to stand with their mouths open. And I think he would like, well, I know he'd like to work through us all the time
right.
like that. But we always hesitate and fear that trust, I guess. We want to handle things ourselves and we're chosen.
So just while Sister Ann's talking, I'm going to let her be the one that hesitates. I'm going to always move in God. Wait.
No, but we're all going to learn to just keep flowing in God, hearing his voice and letting him move.
But there's the revelation of the whole situation right there. If we're not careful, just in our conversation, we will speak confusion. She didn't. I'm just making this as a stop. I was teasing with Leanne. If we're not careful, we'll speak confusion in our answer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll speak fear in our answer.
Yeah.
We will speak uncertainty in our answer rather than standing and boldly saying, no, God said this, and that's what's coming to pass.
Yeah.
But you might say, well, why is it passing? Because we've spoken some things before and they didn't come to pass. But it doesn't stop the fact that God said, mix the word with faith.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Acts 17, verse 30 through 34. Now, the disciples,
mm-hmm.
Mary, mixed word with faith as immediately pregnant. Joseph mixed the word of faith and put Mary aside privately. Zechariah had a problem mixing his words with faith, and he got silent for 9 months. Obviously, Elizabeth mixed the word with faith, and she got pregnant. I'm just recanting the story. I'm just telling the story again of Christmas. Simeon and Anna mixed the word with faith, and they both got to see the Lord's Christ on the day he was dedicated
yeah.
and prophesied. Mary obeyed and mixed the word with faith and got up and went and did, and the baby leaped in her womb. Jesus and John were talking to each other in the womb again. Woo! You got to know that's an amazing situation. You wonder if they hugged each other so that they could kick. If we make this complicated, then it'll be complicated. But if we keep his yoke easy and we keep his burden light and we learn to just move in faith. I'm not telling you I haven't mastered, but I'm telling you I'm a long ways down the road from where it used to be.
Yeah, amen.
Can you see our growth? Can you see your own growth since the first day you came to this program? Oh, my goodness. Every one of us have just grown by leaps and bounds. Now, I'm in Acts chapter 17, and I said verse 30 through 34, right?
Yes.
I want to catch Roger's statement.
Yeah.
I've seen on Facebook quite a while back, Australia people gave up almost 1.5 million firearms. It's the truth, right? That's exactly what happened.
It is the truth, right?
That's what that lady said on that one video we saw today at the noon prayer. She said, and we have given up our firearms.
And now they're completely over.
And they have nothing they can do to defend themselves against what's going on. They can use sticks and stones. They better call on the presence and power of God and the angels. God hasn't left them, but they should have never given up their weapons from their homes. And of course, there was millions of people who didn't want to give up their weapons. But they allowed that infiltration to come in. In the mighty name of Jesus. And it's on YouTube. You and I are not going to do that. Here we go. Verse 30. Acts 17:30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, that's 2,000 years ago, so you reckon he's still commanding men everywhere to repent. Yes, he is. Keep reading. Verse 31, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So you and I can believe on Jesus. It's a documented historical fact, and it's documented in the Word of God that Jesus came and was raised from the dead. The other side of it is, when you receive Jesus, you can tell the transformation that happens on the inside of you. And that transformation is forever. Keep reading. Verse 32. Look what happened when they heard the word preached in verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Don't be a mocker. While others said, we will hear you again on this message. That's a safe one. Paul departed from them. Some, however, joined him and believed. The ones who joined him and believed were the ones that immediately mixed the word with faith. The ones who said, well, we'll hear you again on this measure. They're the ones that said, well, seems like there could be something there, but this is sure new to me. So I'll hear you again. See, that's safe to say that. Even if it doesn't, even if you're not understanding, it's safe to say, wait a minute, let's talk about this some more. Every one of us should have that spirit on the inside of us that says, I want to know more about what's being said.
Yeah.
Do not be a mocker. Because that's a heart problem that's deep within. And many people who are mockers never get free. It's not that you can't be free. Paul was a mocker. Saul of Tarsus was a mocker. But he got free. Other people were mockers. They got free. Many witch doctors and that kind of a situation have mocked the gospel and they got free. So you're not doomed to destruction if you mock. But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to receiving the word of God, you better be of the side that says, well, wait a minute, I'll hear you again, or just of the side that says, wait, I can see in what this preacher just preached, male or female. I can see that that's the word of God. They gave me verses of scripture for reference. Now I'm going to go and do what I was told to do. I'm going to mix the word with faith. And I'm going to go in. We learned last night, there's three parts of every offense. There's the part of you and I in forgiveness if somebody offends us. Learning how to forget when somebody offends us. And then there's the part of, I got to figure out where to put that person in my life. You either get to be close because you changed, or you've got to stay away because you're not changing.
There you go.
It's a powerful message. Powerful, powerful message that needs to be taught and needs to be heard. You can accept that word. You heard it. And you can receive it and mix it with faith and start living in it. Or you can mock it and say, well, you don't know what happened to me. And I got a real hurt, nothing like you ever had. Well, you don't know what I have. And I don't know what somebody else has. And everybody's hurt is the same to them. It's a hurt, right? The point of it all is this. Jesus said to forgive. And by God's example as our Father, He threw our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. If our Father won't remember someone's sins against them, then why do you and I? Pastor, the person that sinned against me has never asked God to forgive him. So since God hasn't forgiven him yet, then I don't have to. Do you see what you're trying to protect in that statement? You're trying to protect unforgiveness. It ain't going to work. Now, whether or not you let them in close to you, that's a whole different story. But you and I must be the ones that forgive. And you ever taken the word forgive apart? Forgive? Be the one who gives first? Be the one who gives before the other? Pretty powerful word, isn't it?
It is.
Some mocked, some had will see it, will hear you again, and others believed and followed what Paul had said to do, and their lives were changed immediately. You and I looking at this word saying, hold it. We've got so many examples of people who believed, received, went and did, and God moved immediately. There is nothing in this book that should ever tell us to just hesitate and say, well, I don't know about that. No, once you see it, that it's really laid out in the book, receive it and march on and go do it immediately. Amen. Why? Because immediately in the Bible are some pretty serious things that happen. Mm-hmm. Think about the lepers, 2 Kings chapter 7, 6 and 7. Think about them boys. The prophet said inside the city, tomorrow, everything's going to be different, right? The people in the city mocked him, and they're sitting in front of the prophet when he said it. The four lepers can't even hear him saying it, but they picked it up in the realm of the spirit and said, why do we sit here till we die? I'm going to get up and go do something. You guys coming with me? Who knows how many was in the leper colony? Four of them got up and moved. I mean, they were a really amazing sight, mighty warriors marching toward the enemy camp, weren't they? They were sickly. Leprosy affected your whole body. They had open sores somewhere. They didn't eat good because they would bring food out and sit it on a stump and then leave and they'd come. It was a bad situation. And yet, those four mighty warrior lepers, when they got to the camp, the whole enemy camp was empty. Why? Huh. Preach for a minute. I got to write something down. Why? Because God caused them to hear a sound. Was there the mighty troops marching against them? Not in the realm of the natural. Oh, yeah, my Lord.
The army of angels. They heard something.
When the angels start marching. Yeah. I like Dr. Barclay's example of it one time in a Holy Spirit conference. The old DI, he knows how to give the cadence and the order. And he said, God looked over at Gabriel and said, mark time. Forward march. And he said, those angels in heaven all started marching and shook this earth. Do you remember what happened with Paul and Silas? The prison shook. Do you remember what happened all over in the Bible? The earth would shake. The earth would tremble. Not because of an earthquake, quack. Seismographically, because of a crack, because God said, angels, go shake that dirt down there. When them boys stomp, stomping happens.
And isn't it funny that that whole encampment of people heard that and were affected by it? I mean, they were throwing off their robes and cloaks and everything else to run as fast as they could. But the lepers didn't hear any of it. They had no idea anything happened. They got down there. Everything just laid out for them.
Yep. The righteous didn't hear the sound.
Right.
The wicked did. What wicked person around you sharing the marching and leaving something lame for you?
Well, there's a thought.
Somebody say, I'm moving on the wicked immediately. See, we can see it in the story of Jesus. Now, every one of them moved with faith immediately. Not everything that God ever tells you to do, you can go out and go do it the next morning. Sometimes what you have to do is say, all right, and then you start creating a plan and you write it in a notebook or you put it in your phone or start making an audio recording. You know, like my big poster board where you write things out and you begin to see what it is and what it's saying.
Yeah.
And you write that vision, you write it out and you pray over it. And you say, Lord, help me see it. Help me walk in it. Help me function in it. I see it. I receive it from you. And it begins to grow and develop. But other things like the lepers, God says, move now, and you just go do it. Think about that lady in 2 Kings chapter 4. We missed two verses here. 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7 and 2 Kings 4. I want those references in, please, just the references. 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7 and 2 Kings chapter 4. But that lady was in desperate situation. They were coming to take all of her stuff. Her sons would now serve the rest of their life in slavery because they had to pay the debtor. And guess what? God moved immediately. And that lady's debt was paid in a day. Not only was the debt paid, because of what they did in obedience to God, they had so much that came to them, they lived on the abundance for the rest of their life. You might say, Pastor, I want to see that in my life. Yes, you do. And guess what? I want to see that in your life. I want to see that in your life right now. I want to see things change. Scott Sherrill, welcome, man. Good to have you with us tonight.
If it was him or Brady.
Well, you might send him a text and say, what was that supposed to be? Love you, Scott. You too, Braden. It's Friday night. Now watch. The lady in 2 Kings chapter 4. She went to the prophet and the prophet told her what to do. But Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king in the New Testament. And we've got to learn to hear his voice so we can go to him and he can tell us what to do. And we go do it, and it totally changes our life. He's not holding anything back on you. We've proven it over and 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 over here in our studies that our God is not holding anything back from you in any way at all. He wants you so blessed in what you're doing in your life that you will be blessed and be a blessing to many other people in your life. Now, I've preached on that. I've belabored my point. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. We're going to read this now. Therefore, and we're going to read down through 19, Hebrews 3, 7 through 19. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the wilderness. No, in the day of trial. In the wilderness, where your fathers tested me tried me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Look at this verse, verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. God's own people who did not enter that rest because they refused to go in. Do not be like those people. Do not say, I'm not going in. Every time you see a revelation here that we're teaching, just learn to say, well, Jesus, I don't get it, but I'm going in.
Yeah.
Want to say it with me? Jesus, I may not understand it all, but I'm going in, because that's what you told us to do. Keep reading. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, that's an interesting statement.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Heart of unbelief.
Unbelief is an evil heart. The Holy Spirit just said so. Now, watch. Nobody freak out. Just watch. You got to make this word at the end. In departing from the living God. Remember what I just showed you in Acts 17? Some mocked. Don't be that person. Some said, we'll hear you again. At least be that person. But others believed and were set free. Be that person. Be that person. If you hear me teaching a doctrine that goes completely crosswise of that which you have learned in your life and been taught by spiritual leaders throughout your life, well, you might have to say, I'll hear you again on this matter. But then hear me again immediately when the camera turns off by getting those list of verses and begin reading them yourself to see if that's what it really says. Why? Because that's what the Bible says about the Bereans. The Bereans were more noble than the other believers because they mixed the word, no, because they searched the word daily to see if it was so. Let's read it. It's Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. I'm going to tell you, God is the one that called this a ministry of faith, where we're going to continually teach faith, and we're going to continually speak faith. And we're going to continually function in faith. And
amen.
Some of them you're going to get, and it's going to happen immediately. And some of them you're not going to get, and you're going to have to say, well, right. Jesus, snow again. I didn't catch the drift, but one thing about it, I'm entering in.
Amen.
Could I have some more hot water, please? Thank you. No, I got it. Thank you. Here we go. Acts 17, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived there, they went into the synagogue of Jews. Same thing he always did, where he got all of his trouble. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. And searched the scriptures and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bible calls them more fair-minded. Why? Because they received the word with gladness and readiness. And then they searched. I literally heard somebody say the other day, a great preacher, famous preacher say, that in the Baptist church he grew up in, they literally told them, about when you are seeking the wisdom of God of something to do, the first thing that comes to your mind, do the exact opposite, because the first thing that you will always think is your mind. And that is not true. Once you renew your mind and you've given yourself to the study of the word, the first thing that should come to your mind is exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Woo! Brother Roger, we haven't had very many tonight. I think it's time to stop and say, I love the word. I love the word. I love the word.
I love the word.
Look at this. Verse 11. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. I'm going to tell you right now, I thoroughly expect that what I teach you most days is going to cause you to be stretched.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm asking God to stretch us. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want Jesus to come back and we haven't given ourselves fully to just go all over this world and change people's lives everywhere we go.
Amen.
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 But that means we're going to see it in the word and speak it and then get moving toward it. And God will be our help and cause it to come to pass. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. So it was everybody. Mm-hmm. That the ones that received the word with readiness of mind, saying, that's interesting. I receive it. What have you done? Well, as soon as you said that, you're already starting the process. You're already starting the process of mixing that word. We got to get back now to Hebrews chapter 3, because I got to get these verses read in order to fulfill this assignment for tonight. Here we go. I'm in verse 12. Hebrews 3:12. Amen, amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Sounds like Roger's up marching around in his room right now. Remember this statement every time we come together. The word of God will be richer, deeper, stronger every time we come together, based on how much we're saying, Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. The more you want of God, the easier this word is going to flow and transform your life. It is based on the hunger of the person that is hearing. If I'm just another person yakking my jaws and you're like, well, I don't have nothing better else to do, I might as well listen to this guy, that's just not going to produce the same level of God, speak to us right here, right now, in this place. Verse 12, brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. Look what this says. Exhort one another while it is called today. What that means? That means you and I are like, amen, on the word. Come on, everybody. Woo! Let's get excited about the word of God. Exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is sin going to do in your life? It's going to harden you. I didn't say it. God Almighty, by the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, said it. 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Say it with me. I'm going all the way to the end.
Going all the way to the end.
Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For 16. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Everybody but two tribes. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey him? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Wow.
Chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read. Just let your fingers do the walking through the pages of God's word. Remember that commercial? You don't remember that commercial?
Yeah.
That was a Ma Bell commercial. About your Yellow Pages book?
Huh. I do remember.
You do remember. Yeah. The Yellow Pages. That was the Ma Bell. If you don't know what a Ma Bell is, it's all right. Maybe that's just a Michigander thing, but that's what we called it, Ma Bell. That was the telephone company in Michigan. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, whenever you see a therefore, what do? Find out what it's there for. Well, we just found out he's talking about the people of children of Israel that didn't go in. So let's hear what he has to say. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. They had the good news preached to them. And they said, we're not going in. Caleb and Joshua said to them, we are well able. And they said, let's stone them. Do not ever stand in the way of God's work being done by saying, it just can't happen. You have now spoken your faith, and God has to honor your faith when you say the word can't. Keep reading. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them. I'm in verse 2. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, God's not in heaven saying, it's up to me to mix the faith and bless you if I want to or bless you if I don't. No, no. This is God saying to you and me, I have blessed you. It's recorded in heaven. Move under my direction of my blessing. That's why every day you got to just say, here my Lord, send me. I'm going in. You might end up at the end of the day saying, I missed absolutely everything you're saying, but I guarantee you this, here my Lord, send me. I say, yes, sir. I've been fighting. I've been wrestling with one all day myself right now today. Walking around my house shaking my head saying, hi, what, huh? Whoa, hello, yes, yes. I say yes, what? It's like Dr. Summerall said when he was Lester Summerall surviving being dead, and God said, you're going to go preach? I don't want to preach. Then die. Yes, sir, I'm going to preach. He would stand up every night and say, the only reason I'm preaching is I don't want to die and go to hell. I feel sorry for you that you have to listen to me.
He literally said he was angry every time he approached the podium. It's the
And yet Dr. Summerall's prayer by the end of his life is, Lord, I don't care what you're doing on this earth, but I'm going to be right in the middle of it, whatever it is. Amen? Want to say it with me? Doesn't matter what you're doing, Lord.
Doesn't matter what you're doing.
We want to be right in the middle of it. Wait, that's going to cause us to come up to the Canaan land that we're going in, whether they got high mountains, big giants, or whatever. The grapes are good. Let's go in.
Amen.
Listen, if you've never had God give you an assignment that was bigger than you, you've never learned to grow in God yet. I got one. I got about 10 that's bigger than me right now. And we speak to them every single day. We speak to them. But I'm not going to stop speaking just because it didn't happen yesterday. And I don't see it manifested today. It happened the first time I spoke it. And that's what I continually say, because nobody can stop the work of God, not even Sam Cottle, especially when Sam Cottle wants to do everything God's given him to do. Verse 3, Hebrews 4, 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter in, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, It's not the devil, it's disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Who makes your hard heart? Who makes your heart hard? Except you and I, when we begin resisting what God's telling us to do.
Hello, Francetta. Love you.
Francetta, welcome, 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 welcome. Glad to see you're home. Kick up your feet on the stool. Turn on the volume. Get us up on the big screen. And we're in Hebrews chapter 4, mixing the word with faith. And entering in, just like you like to do. 6. I'm in Hebrews 4, 6. Since there remains, we've already read this. I'm in verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9. He said again, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Let's just count how many times he says that here. There remains a rest for the people of God. Verse 9, there remains a rest for the people of God. Let's see. For we who have believed enter into that rest. That's verse 3. There it is again. So we got 6, we got 9, and we got 3 that's saying it. And again in this place, remains a rest and rest. All right. Keep reading. Verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Anybody want to say it? There's number 4. You got 5? All right. Where's it at? Oh, since a promise remains of entering his rest, it's in verse 1. Very good, love. And look at the beginning of verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Has anybody figured out that maybe the focal point of chapter 4 is enter that rest? Enter that rest. Enter the rest. Enter the rest. There is a rest. Enter into it.
Because it's disobedience if you don't.
Look at verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. See, what we've laid out tonight is entering the rest is obedience. Not entering the rest is disobedience. It's called an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Guys, sometimes God's going to tell you to do some things, and you're going to be like, yes, sir. Learn to say this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? Because you got to be these people that are saying, we are going in now. Yes, sir. Why? Because the rest of them died in the wilderness, having never seen the promise that was in front of them. Let's talk about receiving the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, I'm entering in. I receive it. I receive it. It's mine. I receive it. Functioning in all the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I don't know. I may not understand it, but yes, sir, I receive it. There is a difference between rest on the Sabbath. Between rest and the Sabbath. Yes. And what we learn about the Sabbath is Jesus came and completed that and gave us rest, this rest that we're talking about, and therefore delivered us. See, maybe people get all upset when you say this. But the Sabbath worship was completed in Jesus. That was... What happened in the Old Testament was a shadow of what was coming in the New Testament. So if in the shadow that was there, when we get into the light, now we get the full effect. And it's not just Saturday that you rest, or Sunday if you worship the first day of the week like the first generation believers. It's not just taking a day off of work. It's talking about entering into a rest,
yeah,
using your faith and getting the work accomplished that God wants you to do. Well, I can see what time it is, but all night I keep hearing the Father say, Holy Spirit say,
rest to the Lord, yes, Roger.
Numbers chapter 13. Go there quickly. Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13, and I'm just going to hit a bunch of verses. So don't enter it in yet. Just put Numbers 13, and then when we get done, you can add all the verses that we're going to read. Right now at the beginning, it's 1, 2, and 3. Numbers 13, 1, 2, and 3. Just follow along. Watch this be laid out. This is exactly what Paul is talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 of these people who didn't enter in. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one the leader among them of the tribe. Moses went forth and went to the heads of Israel. It names them. We're going down to verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said, go up this way into the south. And here's the assignment. And see. What were they supposed to do? See what the land is like. And see whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak. And see whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. And see whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. and see whether the land is rich or poor, and see whether there are forests there or not. So what was God asking them to do? See. Open your eyes and see what he's doing and what he's going to do. I'm going to say to you right now, open your eyes and see what we teach you in this word. God wants to bless every part of your life.
Amen. I receive it.
Woo! Make it work. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. So he told them they were going to have to use courage. Now the time was the season of the first ripe fruit, grapes. All right? Verse 23. They came to the valley of Eshcol and saw. You can't cut down a bunch of grapes unless you see them. They saw that the grapes were so big, they carried one cluster on a pole. And they saw pomegranates and figs and brought them. 25. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. 26. They departed and came back, Moses and all the congregation. You notice it's called the congregation? These men were preachers, and they're preaching to this congregation. And the sad thing is they preached a false doctrine, and people didn't believe it. They believed their false doctrine, and they didn't get to enter in. You got to be careful who you're listening to. Show them the fruit. 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. Look at this next statement. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit.
Wow.
Wait. They saw it, and they brought it with them so the people could see it. You and I have watched God in this community of faith change all of our lives and increase us and grow us. It is impossible for you and I to say, I don't see us growing in God. That's impossible. That's impossible. Because you can see it. We've seen miracles, signs, wonders. What is it you got to overcome? The same thing every one of them overcame. They could see that grape, that cluster of grapes, and they had to listen to Caleb and Joshua, the two good preachers, rather than listen to the other 10 who were bad preachers. You know their names because they were bad preachers. You know their names?
No.
I couldn't name one of them. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified, very large. And we saw the sons of Anak there. 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah.
We are well able.
It doesn't matter what he's telling you to get accomplished. Say it. I'm well able to overtake this.
Well able to overtake.
Well able. 31. But the men who had gone up with them said, we're not able. They're stronger than us. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. They preached a bad message to the congregation, a message of fear and doubt and confusion and weakness. Those messages should never be preached in a pulpit.
Amen.
Fear, doubt, weakness, confusion, sickness, disease, that is not a message to be preached to God's people to receive. That's not our God. He came to set the captive free. Look at it says, the land that we see gone up as spies, it devours its inhabitants. Well, how in the world can it do that if they actually saw people there?
Yeah, really?
The land didn't devour them. And these 12 spies didn't get devoured. Anybody want to say, I love the word?
I love the word.
Quit listening to bad preachers. 33, we saw the giants, sons of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Well, those 10 were. Caleb and Joshua weren't. They're like, no, let's go. Look at what it says, verse 1. Congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, here comes the congregation word again. If only we had died in the wilderness. Verse 4, they said, let us select another leader and return to Egypt. God destroyed Egypt. There's nothing to return to. And how are you going to return when you don't have the presence and power of God with you? Because he said, go up. And you said, no. You don't have God's presence with you anymore when you say no. It's just good preaching, just like every night. Verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were those that spied out the land, they tore their clothes. And now they're preaching to the congregation. Verse 7, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. When you and I hear great men and women of God talk about God's great abundance and blessing, you and I better grab a hold of it and say, well, one thing about it, I know that man is a man of God. They walked with God, and look what God's doing in their life. I receive it. It's coming to pass in my own life.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there. What matters is that every day you're chasing that thing and you're going after it in everything you got in God.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Look at verse 10. All the congregation said to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the temple of meeting before all the children of Israel. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said, how long will these people reject me? Did you notice he didn't say, how long have they rejected Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb? He said, why are they rejecting me? And when if a person refuses to not enter in, you are rejecting God, not the preacher that's in front of you. You may not agree with me, but I'm going to preach faith, and I'm going to preach this word every time I come here. And whether or not you agree with me, do not reject God. Can I get an amen from anybody? Look at verse 12. I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. He's talking to Moses. Look at verse 15. This is Moses. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which you have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land he swore to give them, he killed them in the wilderness. I'm in 16. Now 17. Numbers 14, 17. Sorry. Thank you, love. You're doing a wonderful job. I appreciate it. Does anybody know what verse I'm on?
17.
I'm just happy and I'm in
17.
Love. 18. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children to the third and fourth generation.
Not anymore.
Let's just keep reading verse 20. We're going to read all the way to 25. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and signs which I did in Egypt. See, it wasn't like they hadn't seen signs. They had watched the 10 plagues. They watched Pharaoh chasing them. And that wall of fire by day, or fire by night and cloud by day, that they couldn't get there. The Red Sea opened up. They got water out of a rock. Manna fell. Look at what it says. They certainly shall, wait, verse 22. These men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness have put me to the test now 10 times. And have not heeded my voice. Do not be those people. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Verse 28. This is one of the most powerful verses in this story. Learn a very powerful lesson right now. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Learn it. Jesus said, we'll give an account of every idle word. You don't have to be afraid to talk. Teach your tongue what to say and what not to say according to this book. It'll learn. You got to realize I'm the spirit.
It's a challenge sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's something you have to make a conscious effort.
You have to make a conscious effort. But say it with me. I am the spirit.
I have a soul.
And I get to tell my soul what to think. Some of you have never disciplined your soul or your body for thinking wrong thoughts. And you're going to have to do it. You just have to tell it. Well, until you start thinking good thoughts, I'm turning everything off and we're only reading just the Bible. Now, that's not damaging to you. That's going to help you. But you, the spirit, have got to teach your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your body. I am in charge. I am led by the Holy Spirit. Brain, shut up and stop talking down in unbelief. You can send Sister Leanne a message privately and say, yeah, but does he really do it? And the answer is yes.
He does.
I say it to us every single day about something. Hold it. We are going to adjust those words that we just said. How many times do we say that every day?
Oh, my goodness.
It's not as much anymore as what it used to be because we've really learned. and disciplined our flesh and our soul. You ain't going to say those words. Look at what God said. As you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Underline it, highlight it, circle it, and say, I am only going to speak the word. Look at 29. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. God called those people carcasses. Why? He had shown them all of those miracles, and they still did not believe. That was a choice.
That's great. That is good. I'm shaking my head reading this.
Amen.
Every time something good, a report came that never believed, because they didn't.
Watch this. I'm in 29. The carcasses of you have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. He got real serious with me. Of course, God knows who's complaining and who's not.
Right.
And obviously, the 20-year-olds were like, why would you guys say that? Let's get to Canaan land. Aren't you tired of living in this wilderness? And God had mercy on them. 30, except for Caleb and Joshua, except for them, you will not answer. 31, your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring them in. But what about my children? What if they just don't turn out to be good people if I teach them about God and take them to Sunday school? Read the verse. Teach them about God. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about the Holy Spirit. Teach them to have faith in God. Teach them. I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years. And you shall know my rejection. Why? Because they chose not to believe the Lord. Mix the word with faith. How do I do that, Pastor? I'm not going to be like the children of Israel. When you hear his teacher, shout amen and declare, I receive it. Holy Spirit, show me what you're saying to me tonight. That's how you receive it every single time you come in. That's how. Ready? Say it. Amen.
Amen.
I receive it. Holy Spirit, help me understand it.
Holy Spirit, help me understand.
Because God's not judging you about not understanding. God's saying, no, we're going in. Are you going with me? Yes, sir. All right, then I'll lead you. Moses said in Exodus chapter 19-ish, 27-ish is somewhere. He said, I'm not going up unless you're going with me. And God said, my presence shall but go with you, and I will give you rest. But it's just like right now tonight. Some mocked the preacher. They hear it and they mock. Don't be that person. Others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. And many of them did. And the other ones heard and believed. The Berean believers said, wow, we received this word with readiness of mind, and we search the scriptures daily to see if it's so. That, listen, That's why I give you these audio recordings, because there's no preaching in it. It's just the Word of God. And you can hear it for yourself. I want to encourage every one of you tonight. Well, say something, Francetta. But wait. Sister Francetta is one of the newest believers here with us. She's not a new believer in any sense of the word, but that has come to our community of faith. And yet, look at the life that's happened inside of you, Francetta, because just every day you come, you're like, wow, I see it. That's actually in the word. That's why when I come, we're not usually done before an hour and a half, because we've got to lay the word out. I'm not going to give you thus saith Sam, because thus saith Sam ain't going to cause you to win over the devil. But thus saith the Lord, the word, that'll win over the devil every time you come here.
Amen.
That's why I'm glad to give you those audios. That's just the reading of the word. Why? Because it produces so much life for you. And then you can just say, oh, I receive it. Now listen, you may not understand all the inner workings of it. That's not what's important. What's important is you receive the revelation and you say to God, not only do I receive it, I'm going in. Now take me in. I'm going with
Amen.
You. And then line upon line, precept upon precept, you begin to learn. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, you're like, I got a solid foundation here. And I remember saying about Dr. Barker, man, I feel like somebody poured cement in my shoes. The audio messages are on our thread called Hear the Word. And I've added you a couple times, Roger, but you may have, by accident, if you swipe wrong with an iPhone, then you might make it vanish out. You might have missed it. I'll unconnect you and reconnect you and send you a message so that you can see it. They're just audio recordings that you can listen to throughout the day. Most of them are about 7 to 10, 11 minutes long. And it's just reading the word. Because that way the word is what will change your life. I'm going to teach it, explain it, proclaim it when we come here like this at night. But those words, that's just the word of God.
Yeah.
It's like tonight, these are some pretty sobering verses.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
yeah,
you say?
Oh my goodness.
These are some pretty sobering verses tonight.
This is some heavy preaching tonight.
It's just, but remember, you are God's child. He ain't angry at you. He's just saying, believe me. You've seen miracles. So all you got to do is just say, well, Lord, I see it there, 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 and there. Would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Would you go out to the door and pull that one sheet up off there and bring it in here to me?
Which one?
The one that says, I believe what all these men say.
Oh, yeah.
I want to show you one of my writings that's on the wall out here on our door, actually. It's been here ever since we got moved to Wilson. Because I want to remind myself of this on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you, this is a serious issue to me. Now, I know some of you are going to say, Pastor?
Really, Pastor?
It's not even very well written. Well, I know. But it's still real to me. And this is on here because I will not be like the children of Israel. I'm telling you right now, I am not going to be.
Yeah, that is so true, Francis.
Everybody pause. I didn't date this one, love?
That's unusual for you.
I did not date it. If you make one of these, date it. I did date this one, which I just added on 24 October 21. Look at what it says. Seed is not in time. Is that right? Can you read it? Wages, the Egyptian system is in time. Seeds are still producing every minute. Seeds produce now. That's my understanding. Look at the next line. Let me see. Have I got it? Where? There. Can you read it? You're lagging?
Okay, yes, there we can read it.
All right, read the one that says Jesus. I can't read backwards.
Jesus rebuked unbelief after people saw his hand in someone else's life and then didn't, and then didn't believe it could work for them. Left or somehow.
All right, I'm going to read now. I want you to see it. Jesus rebuked unbelief in people after they saw a miracle happen and they didn't believe. How many times did Jesus say to the disciples, what is your problem? Why do you not believe? Why? They saw the 5,000. They saw the waves. They saw demons come out. They saw the dead be raised. I mean, some of them were on the mountain and Jesus was transfigured in front of them. They saw people's arms grow, legs grow, eyes pop into their head, ears grow. They saw all of this happen. And Jesus looked at them like, why do you not believe? So then listen to what I wrote. I believe what these men speak. Lester Summerall, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price, Mark T. Barkley, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse DePlanis, Bill Winston, Rob Thompson, George Evans, Hilton Sutton, John Osteen, Billy Graham. Why did you put him on there? Smith Wigglesworth, Andrew Womack, Peter Daniels, Keith Butler. You believe my word or you wouldn't write this out. But when you believe the prophet, you prosper. This hangs on our door every single day. I'm going to go put it back up there. And I'm going to go add this one. This one says, thank you, Oral, Kenneth, Lester, Ray, George, John, Hilton, Smith, Fred, Cho, for setting up this generation with faith. Those are all the great men of faith. I read this regularly. Why? Because I remind myself, I have seen these men, if not in my own eyes, I have seen them on a video. I have seen what God's done for them. They are, God is doing that same thing for me. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hey, hi, Sunday.
Sunday Geyser's with us.
So good to have you with us.
No way I will be like the children of Israel. The apostles did not believe. No. Well, think about it, Francetta. The one time Jesus said the disciples came and said, Jesus, send them all the way. It's late. There's no food out here. Send them home. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. And they were like, and they all looked at Peter like, see, we told you. Just shut up, Peter. Why'd you say something? But Andrew, now watch this, but Andrew knew what Jesus was going to do, and him and Philip had gone around and said, does anybody have something? Because if we got some food here somewhere, he's going to feed everybody. Now, the other guys were bumbling over their tongue, but those two stepped up and said, we got 2 fish and 5 loaves. But Jesus looked at them and said, you feed him. Why? Because he had already taught them enough that they could feed him.
Yeah.
He'd already taught them enough. Jesus said to him, how many times? How long do I have to be with you? Not out of anger, but out of, guys, you got to get this. That's why I made this sheet. When we first moved in here, that's why I made the sheet. I believe what these men say. I am not going to let come out of my mouth, you don't ever work for me. There are many days that statement has tried to come out of my mouth. And I've said, well, Father, I don't understand why there's not more of the manifestation of what you've shown me is going to happen in my hands. But I know this, you do not fail. And I am learning the word of God in my life every single day.
Amen.
You guys have watched this grow. And we have watched you grow. What is up with you, Voice of America people?
Well, this isn't even Voice of America.
What do you want with us? What do you want? Don't come on here. Send me something privately. I really likes the message this morning. Kathy Marie Angaroni. Wow. Well, I don't think that they doubted him. They didn't doubt him, Francetta. They doubted their own ability to feed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. It wasn't that they doubted him. They were like, whoa, he's telling us to do it now. Well, Voice of America is run by whoever is the reigning king in America. So right now, it's the voice of Biden. And no, you're not welcome here. One is VOA, one is VOT. And no, you're not welcome.
Well, the VOA, the true one, is capital. It's all capital letters. And it has to have it.
Anyways, here we go. So the deal with this is that Jesus was causing them to grow and develop. He wanted them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He sent them out in Matthew chapter 10, and they went and did it and came back saying, wow, even the demons were subject to us. And it was after that that Jesus said, well, you feed the 5,000. And they're like, why? Because it's just that they're learning that confidence in themselves. You and I are seeing it right here with this radio program that we're supposed to be doing. That God has designed for us to do. All right? I keep saying, I want it all paid for in full. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying, I need it on the air now. And it's like, oh, Jesus. But I'm not going to say no. Are you going to say no? I'm going to say, show me, Father, what to do, and I will do it. It's like the day we turned this on. And I went live on Facebook. I had told God I wasn't going to do that for years. I didn't want nothing to do with it. And I finally got where I was face to face with God. And he's saying, you going to let all your friends go to hell? And I'm like, no, sir. Then he said, turn it on and let's get going. And that was March 21st of 2020. And every day since then, we have put out some kind of gospel in one way or another through this medium right there. Our strength? No. That's the strength of Almighty God. But I'm not going to say I can't do that. I'm not going to say, no, I won't do that. I'm going to say, here am I, Lord, send me. How do I get it done? Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense? Every great leader has made the statement, when God told them what they do, they did not have the money to do it. But as they began to work toward it, God brought them everything that they needed.
Amen.
I'll tell you the story. Brother Hagin, the first time God told him, tell every pastor from this point on to not say a bunch about the altar, just stand up and take the offering. He said back in those days, people were so poor after the Depression that they would say, come on, somebody give us $5, somebody give us $2, somebody give me 50 cents. And he said they would just take offerings forever. And God said, stop it. I don't want you doing that no more. Tell the pastor, stand up and just say, we're taking this offering for Brother Hagin. Give what's in your heart to give. First pastor, he told him that where he went to do that, he told the pastor, he said, I don't want you doing all that. I just want you to stand up and say, this offering's for Brother Hagin, and then just receive the offering. He said, Brother Hagin, if I get that, you won't get $25 for this whole 3 weeks. And he said, how much do you need? He said, I need $100. And he said, oh, my Lord, we've never given more than 35. And the pastor went into total faith, total doubt and unbelief. And he looked at him. He said, sir, don't worry about how much money comes in. I'll never say anything to you about how much comes in. Just stand up and tell the people the offering's for me and receive it. And they received like $125.
Yeah.
Yep. And the pastor himself said, well, if Jesus himself would have been here, I wouldn't even have believed it. See, what have we become? If we're not careful with the words of our mouth, we start talking doubt and unbelief. Just don't do it. Because God has to listen to your words in order to honor your faith, because your faith is mixed by your words. Woo! Let's go back there one more time. And we'll read it again. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. This chair is about to be moved to the other room because it must stop going down. Could have done it themselves. It's like every one of you can heal the sick, literally can raise the dead if that's the will of God. You can cast out, every one of you right now can cast out demons right now. Woo! That man that couldn't talk the other day at Walmart walked up and hugged me. I grabbed a hold of him. I'm like, you foul devil, let go of this man's tongue right now. I command you in the mighty name of Jesus. I walked him off to the side so I was away from the table saying, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. Now I say this man's tongue is loose. I'm hugging a man outside of Walmart. It didn't leave. And he started pushing me away, so I let him go. I prayed the prayer, though. And I used my faith so that it would come to pass. And I believe God did the work.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it still.
And God did the work. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, since a promise remains us of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. There's a rest. There's a conquer. There's a dominion that's for you and I to live in. Verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The good news was preached to them. It's a land of milk and honey. Let's enter in. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They didn't mix the word that they heard and received in their heart with faith. How do I mix it with faith, Pastor? You say, Jesus, say it with me, Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive this word I just heard.
I receive this word I just heard.
And I function in it every day.
And I function in it every day.
I believe.
I do.
and I receive it done in my life. You just mixed the word with your faith. Faith is speaking it done when you can't see it except in the eyes of your spirit. Say this with me. All my kids are saved.
All my kids are saved.
What did you just do? You just mixed the word with your faith by proclaiming that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's done. How about this? My body lives in health.
My body lives in health.
And great strength.
And great strength.
And no fat.
And no fat.
Wait, if he'll deliver you from cancer, from AIDS, from COVID, if God can deliver you from that, he can deliver you from fat cells.
Amen.
According to your faith, it will be unto you. How do you cast out a devil, Roger? You first bind it from having control of their mind. Satan, I bind you. You cannot control their mind another minute. Now, I command you, release their body. I'm free. I bind you. Go. And now you're free. Jesus, come. Then just begin to lead him into prayer of salvation that says, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. What do they got to do? The devil's got to get out, and then Jesus has got to get in. And make sure by the time you get done praying the sinner's prayer that you also say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yeah. This is why I tell every one of you who are here with us every day, make sure you stay for communion. Because in every communion, I pray the prayer of salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And by now, you know it. You just don't realize you know it. Yeah. And we're going to pray it. And I'll tell you in just a minute when we do. What a message we had tonight. Why don't you say it with me? The shepherds moved immediately.
Yeah,
the wise men moved immediately. Mary moved immediately. Joseph moved immediately. Zechariah was muted immediately. Why? Because his words were going to stop the baby from being born. And the angel said, nope, silence your words, buddy. You are not going to stop the Christ child or John the Baptist from coming and preparing the way. Peace to the 92nd lady. See if I let you do that anymore. Silence your mouth right now. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. But we are entering his rest. Because it remains that we can enter his rest. Literally. The day will come when you'll rest from all that work and do the work of the kingdom. And you will be blessed and cared for by the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Have I got anything else to say? All right. I'll say it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2. And 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1:2-4. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is what God thinks. In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, you just gain greater knowledge. Grace and peace are multiplied to you. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, don't miss it. By which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. I didn't write it, the Holy Spirit wrote it. I get to be a partaker of the very divine nature of God. Guarantee you, I'm always going to move in faith. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Well, Roger, I'll send it to you. But remember this principle. What you got to do is say, devil, go. And then they've got to say, Jesus, come. It's real simple. Say whatever words you want to say. Devil, get out. And now, once you've said it, the devil has to go. Once you've said it, now you say to them, pray this prayer. Jesus, come and live in my life. It's real simple. Devil, go. Jesus, come. And you can say whatever other words along with it you want. But the fewer, the better. Dr. Lester Summerall spent 3 days casting the demon out of the girl in Manila, Philippines. Every one of them came out. And they filmed it on ABC, CBS, and NBC. And you can actually see portions of it on YouTube today. Called Bitten by Devils. And she's free. And still alive today, I would imagine. Still alive and well. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word is so rich and so alive and so filled with life. Thank you. Thank you that you have given us the answers. All we got to do is live in them. You promised us that we would enter the rest. And we are entering in.
Amen.
Right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. We take this word, we mix it with our faith, and we live a life of joy and happiness and peace and strength with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Anybody want to shout it with me? I love the word. And I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, while you're all looking at it, everybody scroll down here and let's grab these verses Sister Leanne just put in. These are tonight's verses. Make sure you grab them and you get them put in right where they belong. I always like to get them when she puts them out and they're fresh, hot off the skillet. Now I got them in my notes. You can also find them in the family thread on Messenger and be able to study them and read them right out loud. I do not have these recorded. I may be able to get that done yet tonight. Don't know. We'll see. Let's now receive our communion elements together, the new covenant worship. We receive this every night when we come together. Kathy Angaroni, we love you.
Yes,
so good to have you with us tonight. You've been a blessing to us every time you've been with us. And we pray we've been the same blessing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, there we go. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Don't you love to receive the communion elements together? I'm so glad God instructed us to do this every time we come together. He said often, so let's do it often. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. For I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you think about it, the whole Passover feast is put into this right here that we partake of every single night. You couldn't have taken a Passover feast every single night. That would have been a severe amount of work to get accomplished. You would have had to raise 365 perfect lambs. That's a lot of sheep. But Jesus said this. He took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Let me say if I get it right. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Aren't you glad that he gives us the responsibility and the accountability and the understanding to judge ourselves? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. God's perfect love is perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we. Perfect love. Cast out fear. And the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion element if you come here to just receive from God. He wants you to examine yourself. The first statement that we make is, Father, I know I need you in every part of my life. What have you done? You've examined yourself and said, I want you, God, in my life. And so your first statement is, I know I need you in my life. And according to verse 28, examine yourself and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. How much more simple is it? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Hi, Rebecca. Love you. God bless you, ma'am. Let's receive, let's pray our prayer of salvation, prayer of rededication. The prayer, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pray this together with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
I will not perish.
I will not perish.
But have everlasting life.
But have everlasting life.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in
Put your hands out and say, and I receive you in my life.
And I receive you in my life.
Right now.
Right now.
According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I pray day. This in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're here, and this is who we are, and this is what we look like. Aren't we a cool-looking bunch? This is a great family. You'll be glad to belong to this family of God. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the light. You went from fear to faith. Jesus' faith. You went from your sin, which none of us could beat. Not me, not you, not anybody. Since Jesus died. You can't beat it in your own strength. To Jesus' righteousness. He gave you his righteousness. And then made you into his righteousness. And now sin has no more power over you. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I have a pastor. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know the sin I have in my life. This is what I know. You stay with us and you'll see what I'm talking about. Jesus. The Father just looked at Jesus and said, adopt them into the family. All of that went on in that prayer. And for those of us that's been here for a while, we said it all again. And shout, glory be to God, we're in this family forever. It's an amazing thing. From this day forward, pray the prayer every day. Lord Jesus, help me walk with you. So you got to pray. And then he'll begin to lead you, paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. And just walk in them when he leads you. Before you go to sleep with me. Just say, Jesus, help me walk with you. And then listen, and he'll begin to talk and say words to you. They'll come inside your spirit, man. And you'll be like, wow, God's talking to me. And you're right. It'll be God. He'll be talking to you. He said, you are now a part of his family. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All of that just happened in that one verse. Faith is a powerful force. Put my email address and website in there so you have the ability to contact me. The website has all of our contact information. Has a couple good messages on there. The communion service is on there, written in written form. So you can receive communion in your home every day and begin to build your life on the things of God. Just go to the website, copy and paste it. Or just open up the website and read it. And it'll be a blessing to you every day in your home. God not only allows it, he encourages it. In Jesus' name. My email address is there. Send me a message. Send me an email. Tell me a story. Give me your testimony. Send a prayer request. And if you would like, if you'll ask me, I'll send you 10 verses that I believe are the most basic foundation verses of our life. And they'll be a blessing to you and to your family. Get them, meditate in them, study them, It's all free of charge, because if it's free, there's no excuse to not have it. You might as well know it. And when the sun sets free, it's free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Grab you some elements. Get you some bread and grape juice, bread and water. Jesus turned the water into wine, and let's receive our communion elements together. I'll pause for a minute, give you the opportunity to. The most wonderful thing about this is even in COVID, the mandemic, they can stop you and I receiving this. Why? Because this is about faith. They can't tell you what you can or cannot say. Because you can still pray it, no matter what. You ready? Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing. Nothing
broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Lord.
From your body, Lord.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, that you were wounded for our transgression. Thank you that you did it all and you called it joy that you might receive us. We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
That the world ever knew.
That the world ever
knew. Has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over
and
my
cannot
life.
Be on me or my family. I speak my faith now in Jesus' name.
I speak my faith now.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive this bloodshed. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. many people think that communion is supposed to be sad and sorrowful and mournful. Jesus is suffering. Show me one verse where Jesus said to remember, except to receive that cup and to receive that bread. And he called it joy. Hebrews chapter 12. Going all the way back to Brother Andre Crouch. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, and a big glory kick. And a big glory kick. For how my dad used to kick his leg and say, well, glory. Well, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I want you tonight, do not let this message be heavy. Don't do that. But let it make you say, wait, I'm going to get serious with this. I am going to enter in. I will not have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. I walk with God every day of my life in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we have talked about a lot of stuff this week. So, I encourage you this week, or tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow, to send me some questions about what we've been studying this week. All right? Tomorrow night is our Saturday night live. I don't know. I got to figure out how to say this. Saturday night, Jesus is alive. There we go. And well, it's our question and answer night. I like that. Saturday night, Jesus is alive and well. I like that. There, we fixed it. Make sure we got some good questions. The sooner you get them to me, the easier it is to put them in a straight line and study them. It doesn't matter if you've heard the question asked here 50 times. Ask it again if you don't understand it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
And remember, we don't have noon prayer tomorrow.
Right. There will be no noon prayer tomorrow on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday, we don't have noon prayer because that's our days that we got to get some stuff done. And it just makes it work a whole lot more better. And thank you. I mean, it's me. I'd pray every day, all day long. But We got to do some other things on this earth besides just pray. And as of yet, I'm not a monk, and I will never be one. But we'll see you back here again tomorrow night.
Oh, that's a Christmas shopping today. That's fun.
Thank God for this beautiful season where we remember our Savior's birth. Did you see me thinking thoughts there?
Is that what that was?
Yes. All right. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
And God
loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
Our closing verse for tonight is Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20. Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want you to get this. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to do what's right. I'm just trying to copy and paste it, okay? It's real simple. It's not like a difficult task.
Night, Sunday. God bless your
God sleep. Bless you, Sunday. We love you. There you go. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit helps you pray in your most holy faith. Till we see you again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen.